Hello.
Hi, is that Mr. Sanders?
Yeah, speaking.
Hi, you Colin. It's just Leah again from MMA Legal.
Hi there.
Are you all right to continue?
Yeah, just
Perfect.
kind of trying to trim the garden, so just swapping batteries over here today.
Bless you.
Sorry.
Obviously, because this is a new phone call, I do have to let you know the call's recorded for training and monitoring purposes.
Yes, I understand.
And for data protection, can you just confirm your date of birth and your postcode for me?
11/3/1972, IV3HIZ,
Thank you.
12 County Houses.
Perfect. That's brilliant. Thank you, Colin.
Okay.
I have just sat and gone through all of your records. We've got over 400 pages. I have nothing about any other foster carer.
Okay.
Did you was there any abuse in that other foster placement?
No, just regimental, that was all.
Okay.
Just regimental. It was just, what was the hardest thing about that was really school, moving school again.
Okay, I can understand that.
That caused a lot of problems for me.
Yeah, understandably, of course. Right.
Okay.
What I'm going to do now, Colin, is I'm just going to ask you, so I'm going to go through each individual care placement you were in, and I know it sounds harsh, but I want you to just focus on the one that we're talking about, just so I know that when I come to write your complete statement, I've got everything in complete chronological order, okay?
Sure.
Perfect. So I'm going to start with Rose Dean. So Rose Dean, I've got you were there for 4 months in 1982.
Okay.
So Rose Dean was
You
that.
haven't, sorry, do you haven't mentioned we've been in Rosine twice?
I don't. I'm so sorry. So
Okay.
we actually had. I'm just going to double check that one because just bear with me. No, I haven't got twice, but what I'll do is I'll pop in there that you were in there twice.
Yeah.
Even if we don't have the records, we've still got records that you were in there, okay?
Yeah.
So, Rose Dean Children's Home. Can you tell me about the house itself? So was it a big house? How many floors did it have?
It was a really big house, like a spiral building, two staircase, one, two, maybe two floors that I can remember, maybe a third. Back steps coming down at the back, the steps to go up at the
Okay.
front. The beds and the toilets.
Were the toilets shared?
Yeah, well, so you had to, depending on the staff that was on, would make you do the toilet.
Okay. And was it a clean house?
It was very, very strict, yeah.
Okay. And did you have your own bedroom or did you share a room?
I think a bit of both. There was sharing room and on my own.
Okay. What about school? Did you still go to school while you were in Rose Dean?
Yes, I went to Locardo Primary School, I think.
Okay. Perfect. And what was the food like?
Yeah. Meals of breakfast and lunch and dinner. Just like the place in Glasgow where I lived, I sort of used to go for a few hours a day. They would make some tomatoes. They've done the same in Rose Dean. Just blue cheese. They made me eat it and I didn't like it and I was sick. I mean, I vomited and they made me just tried to make me eat my own vomit and still eat the cheese, and I couldn't do it. So I got really punished for it.
Okay. Did you get options when it came to mealtime, or was it, you know, whatever was given was given?
Sometimes it was you're given what you're given. Other times, depending on the staff that were on and what everybody would eat together, sometimes you would have to help in the kitchen, putting stuff away and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But food and stuff was used against you.
Okay. I'm going to ask more about that in a minute. I just want to quickly get through this little bit because I would like to know more about that. I promise you I will come back to that. Can I ask, were you provided any fresh clothing?
I can't remember.
Okay, that's okay.
It would have been, if anything, it would have been second-hand clothes.
Okay. If ever you can't remember, you just say the word can't remember and we'll just leave it there, okay? Because
okay.
I don't want you stressing yourself out. And I know it can be frustrating when you can't remember sometimes, so I do understand that.
I don't want to say something now that I'm going to forget and remember later on.
If you remember it later on, you can always just tell me really quick, can we go back to this? And I absolutely will do that, okay? That's more than okay to do. Like I said, you're in complete control, okay?
Yes.
What about hygiene-wise? So were you provided with toiletries such as your own shower gel, shampoo, toothbrush, toothpaste?
Not that I remember, no. But I remember using the soap and stuff like that in certain toys. So that Rose Dean, the staff coming in and making you, scrubbing you. But like, I don't know the stuff you can use for spinning your nails. I wouldn't like the scrubbing the bath and scrubbing your nails. Scrubbing the back of my neck and my arms with it. Because I've got a bit of a tan. I've always been like that when I was younger. And people would call me Parky and stuff like that. But I'm not. I just have a...
You just got olive skin.
I worked in my favour when I got older and I met my wife.
Okay. Okay, so did anything happen to you that you would now consider as an adult to be abuse, neglect or harmful? So these can form in terms of, under redress, sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse or neglect?
Everything,
okay.
Absolutely everything.
What I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask you about each individual type of abuse, okay? So
yes.
I'm going to start with this, the sexual abuse first. So can you tell me a bit about what happened with the sexual abuse?
People's touching you when you're in having baths.
Okay, so it's when you were having a bath?
Having a bath or in pyjamas in the bedroom.
Having a what, sorry?
Lying in your bed, in the bathroom. You're in the bath, touching you in the bathroom.
Okay, so when in the bathroom or in your bedroom?
Or in the bedroom when they come. When she's been sent to bed and it's getting sort of darker, stuff that would come into the room and tell you to do things for them, but not on me.
So they would tell you to do things to them. Can I ask what things they would tell you to do in your own words?
Hold penises.
Okay. Is there anything else that they would tell you to do to them?
Just mess with your head, tell them to do stuff. It makes me feel sick if I just even thinking about it.
I know, I completely understand.
Just very forceful on you.
They were very forceful.
Yeah. It hurt you.
Okay. Is that Is that everything for the sexual abuse, or is there more that you'd like to add?
I don't know if you how what you call promising you different things.
They would promise you different things.
They promise you things.
Okay.
So you didn't really talk about it in front of anybody. But everybody knew what was going on. It was everybody was the staff. There was maybe one or two members of the staff that were all right, and they would just say, "Try not to get, don't let them get to you." But they did. You couldn't go and tell a member of staff and get support from anybody. If you said to somebody, they would just say that we're making up stories.
Okay, so you were kind of just told, was this by the staff?
Yes.
Okay, and this is if you tried to tell them what was happening, they would say you were making up stories?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Can I ask, and I know it is hard to think about and to discuss, I completely understand that. Besides from the staff coming into your room and telling you to do things to them, was there anything else that happened that you would consider to be sexual abuse?
Just the way they're like touching, you know, put their arm around you and touch you, squeeze your backside and stuff like that.
But okay.
That was like kind of the normal for every child.
Okay. I'm now going to move on to the physical abuse. So I want you to tell me what happened with the physical abuse and what occurred.
Dragged into your bedroom, thrown into bed.
Okay.
Forcefully taken into the area where you, the rec room as you call it, I think.
Okay.
Just really regimental. They'd be scared of and shit out of you. You're just young. And you didn't know if what you were doing wrong. Or
mm-hmm.
if you maybe said something cheeky or do it any normal. I've got children of my own now to say things. And I stop it, and I'll laugh with my wife about it. But if I said anything like that when I was younger in these places, I would get hit for it.
So you would get hit?
Yeah, I would get hit, yes.
Okay. And when you say hit, would it be a
slap in the back, slap in the back of the head, the belt in the hand?
And is this is in Rosedean, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So you've got it. We had slap to the back of the head. You would get a belt on the hand. Was there anything else that you would consider physical abuse?
It was just always the same. You'd have butterflies and nerves. Because if we swore that the kids would be kids, you know, we'd try and act like children with other children. If a member of staff heard you or they were having a hard day, they took it out on all of us.
So if the staff had a hard day?
Yes, if the staff had a hard day, if they didn't meet their quota, whatever it was, they
would take it out on
They would have staff meetings, and after staff meetings, some of them would be nice with you or decent enough with you. And after the staff meetings, then things are totally different.
Right, okay. I understand.
But when you're that age, you're not pretty sure. Most of my life, until I got a little bit older, I didn't know. I thought I was doing wrong all the time.
Mm.
And the way I spoke, I'm not as broad anymore as I used to be. But the way I spoke when I was younger, I would say, no. I had a Glasgow accent.
Right, okay.
And I would get absolutely, seriously reprimanded for the way I spoke.
Wow.
If I said I, it was, they'd grab you and throw your penny against you or just grab your hands and squeeze. That was what one of them were worse for, just grabbing your fingers and pulling your fingers back in yourself and say, it's not, fuck, sorry for swearing.
No, you're allowed to swear, say what you need to say.
I don't want to though.
Okay, that's okay.
They would say, it's not F and I, yes, it's not, fuck, it's not F and no, it's not no, it's no, and stuff like that.
Yeah, I understand. I'm a Geordie myself, so the I is a big one that I've had to try and leave behind. You've got to have to try and leave that behind because nobody really understood me when I first moved to Liverpool.
No, it was the same when I moved up here.
Yeah.
If I go to Glasgow now, I just need to spend 2 days in Glasgow and my accent to be back again.
Yes, that's exactly it. I'm going home on the weekend and I know fine well when I come back, my accent's just going to go right up.
See, when I would be in school and stuff like that, different places, I would go to school and get a hell in school, get a belt in school for speaking the wrong way, and
wow.
Then go home. I then go home and speak the wrong way. If I said yes instead of I, they say, what are you speaking like? Oh, that's tutored for.
Mm.
And get lettered for that. So you get lettered, you got a belt in school, and then you get lettered at home for saying it. So you couldn't win either way.
Yeah, no, I understand.
That's just the way it was. It wasn't like it was like that for just about everybody that I know.
Yeah. Was there any more physical abuse that you can remember from Rose Dean?
Physical?
Yes.
Just the way the man handled you and stuff like that. It's just no child should have had to go through that in a big, scary building like that.
Okay, it was quite rough.
Yeah, they were very rough because we don't know if it's true or not, but seemingly there was two children years before I was in there, or not long before I was in there, were in a shed outside in the garden, and they set it on fire and they both died. So ever since then, that's where they were so strict with everybody.
Mm.
Whether that was true, I don't know, but there was a shed. You can see where the big shed used to be. But like I said, I never seen anything like that. It was just stories that it would tell us.
Yeah.
And every time, anytime they force you to do something, sexually or physically, they would always, in the next day when you see them around other members of staff or social workers, they'd be so nice to you, giving you treats and stuff like that.
Hmm.
And then as soon as they were gone, the true colours come back through again.
Right. Okay. I'm going to move on now to the emotional abuse. So can you tell me about the emotional abuse that you endured?
Just how the staff was telling me that how bad my family was, the same as every other place I was in. If it wasn't for people like me, their job would be so easy and stuff like that.
Just belittling,
but I can't also be make you feel as like shit.
Like powerless.
I'm very powerless.
Okay. I tell you what, and I know I can tell that you're kind of struggling to try and find the right words for it. If I give you a couple of types of emotional abuse, and you can go from there, would that help?
Yes.
Okay, so there's threats, humiliation.
Yes, threats, yes, yes.
Blame.
Yes.
Name calling.
Yes.
Isolation.
not so much isolation.
Okay. A little bit
of isolation.
But not so much.
Not so much there, no. Later on in life, yeah.
Okay. Different treatment?
Every child is treated different, yeah.
Denial of family contact?
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to see my father.
Being made to feel powerless or unwanted?
All the time.
Being forced
all my life, all my life.
Yeah. Being forced to witness the abuse or humiliation of others?
Yes.
Okay. So they're what redress identifies as the types of emotional abuse. And you've just identified all of them. So I'm going to actually copy and just put that into the box of notes, because I think it's important to note that you experienced all of that. Now, I know you, I think you said before, when I said the word threats, did you say death threats?
The staff would say, FM, kill you if you do this again, or do that if you don't do that. But we don't know how much. When you're that age, you're fighting just the fact of getting shouted at and blamed for something
yeah.
you didn't do, or if it was something that wasn't worth belittling somebody or scaring the shit out of you for it, and make just because they had power.
Yeah.
No, so that was a big thing throughout most of my childhood.
Okay, I completely understand. I know you said that you also experienced neglect, so I'm now going to just list off what's identified as neglect. So inadequate or withheld food.
Made to eat milk. Forced to eat stuff that they didn't like and stuff.
And that was blue cheese for you in Rosedean, wasn't it?
Yeah, blue cheese in Rosedean, and the place in Glasgow was plum tomatoes.
So with the blue cheese, I did write that down earlier.
Stilton blue cheese.
Wow.
I'd be sick, and this member staff telling me to, I had to eat my own vomit.
And did they make you do that, or were you told to do that? So did it actually happen?
It.
You were told to do it?
So, you'd be grabbed. There was a female and a male. Now I know they were sexually, I don't know if they lived with their partners, but I now know, I'm not daft anymore, that
yeah.
they were sexually together. And then the way the one person would, I remember this woman. She was dressed up like Aunt, we call her Aunt Sally because of her makeup she wore. I can't remember, the name will come to me. One of the guys that just that smell of him, he could hold your arm and grab the back of your head and tell you to fucking lick it.
Right, okay.
And you'd be sick with it, just the taste of it, and they're trying to eat more of it.
Yeah, understand.
And if you didn't eat it, you wouldn't get your dinner.
Okay.
There was a female member of staff in the kitchen who knew that this was happening and couldn't do much about it. But what she did do is, when nobody was about, she would give us jam, pieces of jam, bread and jam, like strawberry jam and stuff like that, biscuits. She would give us that when she could.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Was there anything else that you would classify as the neglect?
I can't really think at the moment. Just at the bad stuff. At that age, it's overwhelming to go over it, to think of it all one time. I've never been asked it like this in my life, to go over all this stuff.
Yeah, I completely understand.
I've told my wife things that's happened, and over the years, I've broke down see my wife breaking down. My daughter overheard some things one day that put me in a really bad place for a long time.
Mm.
She's only 19 years old now. But it was
right.
A few years ago.
Yeah.
I know I'm jumping about here. I'm sorry. I've never had to go into details about things. There's probably little things that I'm missing. That I'm just, these people should never been, some of these people should never been allowed near children, ever.
Yeah.
Never. I don't think they would ever do background checks. You couldn't have done that. Because it wasn't just me that happened to. There was other people who the same thing happened to.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and if you had bruises in your arms or your legs or been kicked and punched, they would say, you've got to be more careful when you're playing outside in that trees and stuff like that. You know?
Were you kicked in Rosedene?
Oh, yeah. I was kicked in Rosedene, slapped in Rosedene in the back of my head. And any bruises you had, it wouldn't, just say for the talk's sake, if you're sitting with a pair of shorts on, and somebody would be like, what happened to your legs? And you'd say, the bloody boy can't even climb a tree properly without falling. And he would look, and he couldn't say anything because you knew if you said anything when you went to bed or toilet or on your own away from everybody else, you knew they would be hard upon you.
Okay.
And that stuff sticks with you. I'll talk about that a bit later on after.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll absolutely get into that. I absolutely promise, because I want to get everything down. I know you said, obviously, so I'm now, you know, was there any names that you can remember of people responsible? So I've actually written down, I know you said there was an Aunt Sally and the female kitchen staff who would give you biscuits and jam when she could.
Yeah.
Was there anyone else who you can remember?
No, I can't remember their names.
It doesn't have to be names. It can be roles, descriptions, what they look like. You know, were they male, female, brown hair, blonde hair?
There was male and female. Male and female. A big woman. To me, now, when you see men back then with beards, moustaches,
mm-hmm.
You think they're old men. Now, I'm 54 years old now, I look at a 19-year-old boy with a moustache and a beard and I'm used to say to my wife, how old are these people?
Yeah.
Because to me, that looks like an adult when I was a wee boy. You know, so you don't
quite
understand
hard
to
understand what age they were, yeah.
As I got older, especially when all of it, the worst of it stems to Sharon Tosh and what happened. The worst of it happened before I went into homes as well. And the worst ever happened to Sharon Tosh.
And we will get to that, okay?
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. Can you give me, and now I know this is difficult, but I would like you to give me one absolutely clear example where it's just clear as day in your head of the abuse you went through. It can be anything small, it can be anything big. I just need one absolute, I remember this like it was yesterday.
Being touched
and
having a hold.
Where did that happen?
In the toilet.
And was this a male staff, a female?
Male staff. A female member of staff, Aunt Sally, she knew what was going on, but she didn't do anything about it.
Okay, I've added that. She knew and she did nothing about it. So,
to me, most of members of staff knew what was going on.
Right.
But there's nothing they could do about it to help you. There's nothing they could do.
As
I found out later on in life, the same thing that happened, and I was older to question it, answer back, fight back. So we'll get to that anyway. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So you said that this instance was in the toilet with a male of staff, and you said he touched you. Can I ask where he touched you?
between my legs.
Okay. And am I right in saying your genitals?
Yes, you told me I'm not wrong. I'm not doing anything wrong for my willy to go hard. It's a good thing.
And was this, did he touch you or did you touch him?
Both.
So you were also forced to touch him?
Yes.
And did you say he encouraged you to go hard?
He was saying to me, I didn't want for that to happen. But I did go hard. I didn't have pubic hair or anything like that, but I remember because that's when I first ever started remembering that happening to me. I didn't go through that before, really.
Okay.
To have a hard penis. And it wasn't because I liked it. I wasn't enjoying
what
was happening.
Yeah,
but he would say, see, I'm being good to you. I'm not hurting you. It's nice, isn't it? That day, I'll never forget that. It's nice. And I knew it wasn't nice. I knew it was horrible.
Yeah. And can I ask what happened afterwards?
To be very nice to you, or tell you that if it's my word against his word, basically, or their word.
Okay. Okay. How often did the abuse happen? Was it a regular occurrence, like daily, weekly, monthly?
Just every time, for all the time I was there, I would see everything would be every week. I just wanted to get away from the place.
Yeah, understandably.
You got frightened when it was time to get washed and stuff like that, and to put in your jammies. You got frightened when it was bedtime, you know.
Okay. And did it ever get worse, the abuse? Did it ever, like, get worse or change, or was it kind of just the same thing each and every time?
It was much the same. It didn't spiral.
Okay. Obviously, I was going to ask what immediate effects did you experience, but I've noted down that earlier you said you would get butterflies and nerves, you would be scared, any bruises you had, they would say you fell, you couldn't say anything, you'd get punished, you would be frightened at wash time and bedtime. Did you ever have any issues with wetting the bed?
Yeah, I wet the bed.
And what would happen if you wet the bed? Would the staff help?
Get my nose, my face rubbed into the blanket. It was like the bed, it was like a niche blanket. I'll never forget them. To this day, blankets and stuff. But it's when you feed the bed, you were treated like a fucking dog.
Right.
That was just one man.
Can you remember anything about him?
Just the smell.
The smell of
the
him?
The smell and the fingernails. Long fingernails, and there's a female member of staff. I think she was in charge of it all. She was maybe his boss or his, or maybe she was. I can't think the right word here. She
like
was
the house manager.
The head of this department.
Okay.
And turned a blind eye to all of this.
Okay. Did she ever witness it happening?
Other staff did. But if you tried to say that such and such hit me,
it was brushed off.
It was like it didn't happen. It says no one will believe you, or you probably fucking deserve it. Sorry, I could say.
No, you're
okay.
You
probably deserved it.
Okay. Okay. What was different about Rosedean compared to everywhere else? So I'm not asking, you know, literally just in a brief sentence, you know, what was the thing that stood out to you that was different about Rosedean?
from what I'd seen beforehand. Very regimental. Scary place to be. Not knowing one day to the next what's going to happen. So many mixed emotions about the place.
Okay. Okay. Is there anything else that you'd like to add about Rose Dean before we move on?
It was just no place for a child to be. I don't think it should have had better staff for all the children through anything like that. It should have had better members of staff around. It was just the smell. To this day, I can still, when I think about it, I can still get the smell of it. Same as when it happened to me when I was in the mantle. I still get that smell. The smell, the things like that never leave you.
What did it smell like?
The furniture polish in Dalney. Sorry, and Rose Dean. It was like furniture polish. It was all wooden. You know, it was just like a furniture, like bleachy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so.
It just smelled very
it smell like it was smell like home. You know, it's just smell like, it's a smell you never forget. See, like in the autumn, in the leaves fall, you get that smell. Well, in there, it's like when you walk out of the building, as soon as you get to the front door and walk into the building, you just smell that. Remember, the staff were allowed to smoke back then.
Right. Okay. I'm now going to move on to your foster placement with Mrs. Geddes. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah? Are you okay to continue or would you like to take a break?
No, it's okay.
Okay. If you want to take a break, you just say the word, okay?
I've heard that as
okay.
That's what I called me anyway, so.
Okay. Mrs. Geddes, what was her house like? Was it a house? Was it a flat, an apartment?
It was a downstairs, downstairs 3-bedroom flat.
Did you have your own bedroom?
No, I shared with another boy.
Okay. Can you remember his name?
Richard Sturrock.
What was that last name?
Sturrock.
Okay.
I think that's the name, yeah, it was.
Okay. And what was the house like? Was it clean? Was it a clean flat?
Yes.
Okay. And what about school? Did you still go to school?
Yeah, I still went to school.
Did you get any help with your homework at home?
No.
Okay. And... I misspelled the word there. What about the food? What was the food like?
Different meal, proper meal made every day.
Yeah, home cooked meal.
Yeah. I would go fishing a lot, and she would gut my fish and make the fish for me to eat. Whatever she made for dinner, you didn't get a choice. You just got what you were given. And if you didn't like it, you just went with, you had to eat it or went without it.
Okay. And what about clothing?
I don't know if she got money for a clothing grant for us or not. But I remember the other boy stayed with us when he would be away. I would put his clothes on under my school clothes because the school clothes that I had before I was in there, I think it was the same clothes I had. It was like I wore welly boots in the summer with trousers.
Okay. And what about toiletries again? You know, any hygiene? Were you given soap, shampoo, toothbrush, toothpaste?
Just to use what was in the bathroom.
Were you given your own toothbrush?
Yes.
Okay. What about contact with family? Were you allowed to have contact with family here?
I was allowed to see my dad. Was allowed to see my dad now and again. Yeah.
Okay.
And if I remember rightly, when I stayed with Mrs. Geddes, however brief it was, I remember it was nearly Christmas time. She went away for Christmas period, and she made me stay with her daughter. I just lived at the other end of the street, but to stay with her daughter, and her children. And my mother came to see me, gave me a pencil case, stayed for 5, 10 minutes and just left. You know, so I remember that.
Okay. Your memory is very good.
There's lots of things I can't remember, but there's things I can't forget.
Yeah. Did anything happen at Miss Geddes that you would now, as an adult, consider abuse, neglect, or harmful in the form of sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, or neglect?
Not sexual.
Okay.
Not sexual. She used to rent out rooms privately. She had a room with two guys were staying in it, and they would just like swear at you and stuff like that, but not in front of her. You know, but there was no sexual abuse or anything like that.
Okay,
it was
so there
just.
was no abuse in the household.
No, not it was. I was just didn't like being away from my father. I just didn't like it.
Okay, so I'll ask you a different question instead. So I'm going to say, how did Mrs. Geddes? Was it just Mrs. Geddes, or was there a husband?
No, it was just Mrs. Geddes and her daughter, Christine.
Okay, so how did was did Christine the daughter?
It was her daughter, yes.
What was Mrs. Geddes' first name?
I can't remember.
Okay, that's okay. Were you able to call her by her first name, or was that just you call her Mrs. Geddes?
I had to call her Mrs. Geddes.
Okay. So how did Mrs. Geddes treat you?
Fair. Strict but fair.
Strict but fair. Okay. What about her daughter?
She was a bit of... She kind of loved herself, you know. She not for our benefit, but she would get all dressed up to go out with her different boyfriends.
Okay.
And we would always be under her feet, herself, the other boy that lived there. I didn't have much to do with it. She made me, she worked for Burton's clothes shop, and she made me, Mrs. Geddes and her daughter Christine, Christine made me go and do clothes modelling in Eastgate Centre. I didn't want to do it. I really didn't want to do it. But it's for Burton Clothes. So that was one of the worst things that I ever experienced with them.
Okay.
I had to do that. I was embarrassed. I didn't like it. There was no. There was nothing like being hurt, but the shouting and being told this is what you have to do.
Okay.
But like I said, there was nothing. If I had the choice, I wouldn't have wanted to stay there. I'd have rather been with my father.
Yeah.
But
okay.
I didn't understand. But I always didn't understand why my mum. I still don't to this day understand why my mother wouldn't take me, come and get me.
Okay, no problem. So there was no abuse, but was there any punishments?
Yes, there's punishments.
Yeah, do you want to tell me about the punishments?
the punishment if you back your clothes dirty from school, you have to go to your bedroom, you weren't allowed out of your room.
Okay.
If your dinner was made, sometimes you wouldn't get it at dinner time. You'd get it later on, but you weren't allowed to eat it. It'd be cold. It didn't matter what it was, it'd be cold.
And this
Sorry?
What was this a punishment for?
Just general doing anything wrong.
Just for misbehaving?
Misbehaving, being late, coming home from school. Just if you'd done something wrong, if you didn't, if you were leaking in the house or something like that, if you heard any of us swear or anything like that, it didn't matter. There's always a bunch of people waiting there. I think we're all guilty of swearing.
Yeah.
You know, we're just young children, you know, so.
Yeah, but you just say things, kids just say things as well, because you hear it. And
she would always, like, point her finger in your face and shout and bawl at you. But she never harmed me. She didn't hit me. I didn't like getting shouted at. And being told, she used to say to me that, bring my mother down. She used to bring my mum down and tell me that my dad was no use because of his drinking. And I didn't like that.
Okay, so she would bring your mother?
She would say to me that my mother didn't care about me and stuff like that. And my dad, he was drinking in his hell. His alcoholism, whatever it was, was a problem.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Did you still wet the bed at Miss Geddes?
No, I used to poo my pants a lot.
Okay.
I used to flush them down the toilet.
Your pants?
Yeah.
Okay. And was Mrs. Geddes, did she ever have, like, witnessed this happening?
I got her once, yeah, but that had happened since I was younger.
Okay.
I just remember that I used to poo my pants, and because of being leather previous to doing it from dirt in my pants, I was flushing down the toilet or take them and try and throw them away, discard them. That asked me where my underwear was. They said, I don't know where it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was, but I suppose that was the thing I didn't like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the bedwetting stopped?
The bedwetting stopped there. I didn't wet my bed at Mrs. Geddes' house anymore.
Okay. Did you ever try and run away from Mrs. Geddes?
There was times I would go to my father's and I wasn't allowed to.
Okay. Did you ever have any sleep problems at Mrs. Geddes' house?
Sleep problems?
Yeah, did you ever have any nightmares, trouble falling asleep?
All the time. All my life to this day, I have serious problems with sleep.
Okay, I will get into that, I promise, because that is further down one of the questions. Okay, so Mrs. Geddes, did you ever tell anyone about, I know nothing, there was no abuse, but did you ever tell anyone about being forced to do the modelling or cold dinner, sitting in your room, you know, shouting at you? Did you ever tell anyone about that?
My dad, that was just back then, that was just the way things were, and you just had to accept it and get on with it.
Okay.
You didn't know any different.
Okay. And what was different about Mrs. Geddes compared to everywhere else? You know, like I asked before, so just about Mrs. Geddes, what was different about
just
that placement?
Just a very strict older woman.
Okay.
Very, very strict woman, that was all. I suppose there have to be some kind of discipline in all lives, all walks of life, but as a father myself of four children, I've never lifted my hands to my children or give them a row for something they can't do.
Hmm.
And then break down in tears afterwards and say to my wife, I can't believe I used to get either a letter for that or what have you for doing something so innocent. And to this day, and I'm going off track a little bit here, to this day, if I see like my kids doing something wrong and my wife dealing with it in a way that this way it should have been dealt with, I can end up going away and shut myself in the bedroom because I break down in tears. To this day, I still do that. I used to do it at Mrs. Geddes' house. I used to cry my eyes out at night time.
Yeah.
My head on the blanket and cry because I couldn't get to sleep. There was always some things that had already happened kind of scared you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, understandably, of course. I'm going to move on now to Dalnay. Am I pronouncing that right, Dalnay?
Dalnay, yeah.
Dalnay, yeah. So can I ask, Dalnay, was it a children's home? Was it a unit, a hospital?
A children's home.
Okay. And, okay. Okay. So was it, like I asked before, was it a big house? How many floors?
There's two floors. They had little window. You couldn't open your window. Going to open your window maybe an inch or so. There was little metal brackets on the outside to stop you opening them to get, so you couldn't open your window and go out, jump out the window, like it would only open a wee bit.
Okay. And was it clean?
Yes, it was clean because we had to do all the cleaning ourselves.
Okay. So you had like chores?
Yes. Hoovering. Every child in there had a rota of what they had to do. Ben was hoovering dishes, stuff like that.
Okay. Did you have your own bedroom?
I had my own bedroom. I was in down there a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yes, I had my own bedroom.
What was in it? You know?
That down there was the first place in my life I ever got new clothes, deodorant, toothpaste, toothbrush, jacket, shoes, trainers. I'd never in my life had anything like that before.
Yeah.
Ever. And they were the first people. Because there's so much that happened out with my father and his girlfriend and his children. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to leave my father and put back in care again. But,
yeah.
Sorry, what was the last question? I'm running
out. No, it's okay. So, when you say you had your own bedroom, what was in the bedroom? So, a bed, a chest of drawers, a desk?
A bedroom with a wee drawer beside me, a cupboard for my clothes.
Okay.
A clock, radio.
Okay.
No televisions or anything like that.
Okay. What about the bathrooms? Were they shared?
Shared bathrooms, yes.
Shared bathrooms. And were they shared by gender or? Did the boys have their own shared bathroom, the girls had their own?
Okay, but I can be, honestly, I can't remember because if it was girls' toilets and boys' toilets, it doesn't matter. We would just use them anyway.
Okay. What about contact with your family? Were you still able to see your dad?
Yes and no.
Okay. Can you explain to me?
They said it was. I would always ask for my mum and my dad. They would always say that my dad wasn't fit to come and see me at the moment, or we couldn't contact my mum.
Okay. Okay. Right. Did anything happen in Dalney that you would now, as an adult, consider to be abuse, neglect, or harmful in the terms of sexual, physical, emotional, or neglect?
Just made to feel belittled.
Okay. So, like emotional abuse,
Yeah,
yeah.
there was a male member of staff, because there was a cook in there, Annette, I think her name was. She was just a wee small woman, and she was amazing. And there was a couple of members of staff that were really good, who would give you things without other people knowing as well. But there was also one or two that were far more stricter, that would take your jackets off you and shoes away from you, so you couldn't leave the building.
Did you say they'd take your jackets and shoes?
Yes.
So you couldn't leave. Okay.
But like I said, I'd never experienced getting hair gel, deodorant, toothpaste, denims, jacket, shoes, trainers. I was given all that, and I'd never been in my life had anything like that. Not even from my father or my mother.
Okay. Was there anything else that was emotional abuse? So I've got the, belittlement. Was there anything particular that you can remember?
Just they said that my attitude was always wrong.
Okay. Okay.
Dalney was, now look back on it now, it was an easier place to be than other places.
Okay. Did you feel safe in Dalny?
Yes and no. You don't always feel safe in places, because it's just, when you live a life like that, always looked over your shoulder, always.
Like
The
walking on
damage was
eggshells.
done. A lot of damage was done by them. So when I lived with my father, I contacted the social work department, because I couldn't take the beat. My dad didn't used to hit me. And then when Jim McNally moved in with my dad and her children, I wouldn't be like dinner and stuff like that. So I would eat toothpaste and what have you. And I would witness. I know this has nothing to do with the homes, but this is one of the reasons why I
You
phoned social work department.
tell me everything. I want to know everything, okay? Tell me as much as you can.
I can't remember if it was fair. I was in Rosedale before that. I might have been about 13 years old, I think. I think I was about 13. June McNally, her. Now I know more. Her brothers and her sisters have all are interbred in a way.
Okay.
I used to watch her sons playing with each other, and the big sister Anne, like flashing her breasts and her private parts to her brothers and myself. I didn't think it was right. My dad had epilepsy. My dad had epilepsy, and he was on tablets. And I don't know if he stopped drinking at that time, but then I used to get battered with a cane,
Right.
and starve, no dinner at all for a couple of days. That's when I had deep toothpaste. And some days we'd only have porridge for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But it got to a point where I couldn't take the beatings anymore from June. It wasn't even my mother. I hit in the head with a high heel shoe, knocked out. My dad had left some serious marks on my legs from the cane and the belt, like a hard plastic slipper shoe at the back side. So I couldn't take it anymore. And I phoned the social work department to say that I was scared. I didn't want to live with my dad and June anymore. If June had left with her children, I would have stayed with my dad. But because of how you, all of a sudden you started going along with Sean's plans. I couldn't cope with it anymore. So I wanted to leave. But I didn't know what I was going to leave and end up in.
Yeah. Okay.
My father died in my arms when I was 20 years old. I sat in the hospital 3 days with him. I love my father, even though what he'd done to me, because I blame the drink for it. But I've always loved my father.
I'm sorry that happened.
Thank you. When I was 17 years old, I was told we had a fight, my dad and myself, and for the first time ever, he kept hitting me, like punching me. I turned around, I pushed him back, and I punched him, said, "Leave me alone." And he had a fit. I couldn't get him out of his fit. And I went and got the neighbour next door, who was a nurse. I phoned an ambulance, and then I told the doctor exactly what happened. And he says, "Colin, if you hadn't done that, you'd have found your dad dead. He's got a brain tumour, a massive brain tumour in his brain." So they only gave him 3 months to live, but he lived for 3 years. He was put in a nursing home down in Blantyre.
Mm.
I know my dad had it hard, from what I believe. I remember my mother leaving. And was it yourself I spoke to when you told me about my mother moving down to
Wales? Yeah.
She left the house empty. She took everything out of the house. Took her all the white goods, carpets, everything. Left my dad with absolutely nothing. I have all these different memories. They affected me later on in life as well, you know.
Yeah.
Jim McNally's children, the boys, what they do to each other is disgusting. And I would have no part in it. And I would go downstairs and say, "That's that." And June would slap me in the face or hit me with anything she could hit. She'd hit me with it for trying to say that. And then I just got to a point where it was bad. And then now, years later, Billy and Stephen have both been incarcerated for sexually assaulting children and their own children.
Wow.
That's why I know it was wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I had to get away from it because of what I witnessed from my uncle and what I witnessed in Rose Dean and things like that.
Yeah.
I just knew it was wrong what they were doing. I thought it was disgusting. How could people actually do that? And they're anti-violet. I just remember their name, Violet. She would... In her house, she would sit with a dressing gown, a nightie on, and sit and flash through the line of the floor. And Billy would look at that, and I'd look and see between her legs. It was disgusting, horrible. So we were only young.
Yeah.
But they would sit and do things with her, and she would allow them to do it with them. And I just didn't want to be there. I just wanted to leave.
Yeah.
I tried to tell my dad, but my dad... To this day, I can still remember my dad on phenobarbital, epinutin, tegretol, and temazepam. I never leaves my brain. He was taking these tablets, and he had to have a sleep in the afternoon, so June would be more involved about having to behave yourselves. Weren't allowed out at certain times, school clothes, wore welly boots to school and stuff like that. Went nights without food. So... That's what I thought. If I went to the social work department, they would stop it for me. It did stop in Dalnay, but then it got out of control.
Okay. Okay, let's finish off. I've written all of that down for like the parts of, you know, before entering care and what your life was like before going into care. Let's finish off getting everything about Dalnay.
Okay.
And then we can really, you know, once we get all of these care settings done, we can really get into like the impact it's had and stuff.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Now, we have been on the phone for an hour now. Would you like to take a break before we continue?
I've taken diazepam.
You're happy to continue?
I'm actually sitting in my car with the air conditioning on, having a cup of green tea, talking to you.
Okay.
Where I live in the banks of Loch Ness, overlooking, our back garden overlooks the whole of the loch.
Wow.
So it's very peaceful.
That sounds gorgeous.
It is. You only see places like just a postcard. You don't think that a land is in my feet getting this place for my wife and my children.
Yeah. It reminds me of, because every time I drive home, I always stop off at a service station called Killington Lake. And it is it's absolutely gorgeous, and especially in the summer. But a lot of the time I drive home after work, so I'll be driving home a little bit later on. And I absolutely love it, because when it gets dark, there's loads of fairy lights around the lake.
Yeah.
And it's just the most peaceful. You just sit there, and I don't even want to get back in my car, because it's just so peaceful and quiet. It's lovely.
It's unbelievable, the certain things that can bring you peace, harmony.
Absolutely.
When you're on your own in certain places.
I think when you can find that place of peace as well, it's nice.
At night time, when I used to run away, I felt safe in a graveyard lying behind a tomb covered in leaves. I felt safe there. The people were too scared to walk in a graveyard, but I felt it was the safest place to be. You know?
Yeah.
But we'll come to that later.
Yeah, absolutely. We absolutely will. Can you remember any names of people who worked at Dalnay? So I have got, I believe you said Annette, who was the cook.
Annette, she was a cook. Yeah, she was a small, I don't think it was her name. There was another woman there, I can't remember her name. The cooks were always really good, because they came in, done the cooking and left. I think the staff done breakfast, but the dinner ladies came in and made lunch, and they didn't stay there. So they would help us out, either give us cigarettes to smoke, people to smoke, or if a member of staff was got very like vocal, swearing and shouting, they would stand up for you and say, "There's no need for you to speak to a child like that." And you would hear, I remember what the one male staff saying, "It's none of your fucking business. I keep don't want to say it. It's none of your business. You do what you're supposed to do. You don't look after these kids. You just look. You don't know you've got to put up with night times." I remember the staff arguing over rotors, who was going to stay in the home overnight.
Mm.
But that was just part and parcel with the home itself. But it was a place that I did feel safe sometimes there. I did.
Yeah.
But I just didn't understand. I still, back then, to this day, I can't fathom why my mother and my father would leave me and not want to take me away from all this.
Yeah. I can understand that.
Especially when other children, at birthdays and Christmases, their parents would come and take them out for the day. And when it came, nobody would come to me. And I hated it. And then staff would say things to you, and other children would make it life difficult for you.
Yeah.
That was one of the hard things in the home, Dalnay. The kids picking on you because you're dark skinned and call you like the wee fucking orphan boy and stuff like that, because parents wouldn't come to visits.
And is that what the staff would call you, or is that what other children would call you?
Both.
Both, okay.
One of the staff would give the boys fags. I can't remember his name, but he was better dressed than the people were in Rosedean. They didn't act like that. They just acted different around different people.
Right.
They were kind of perverts around the girls. They would give the girls more fags and stuff like that.
Right.
I'm not saying they did anything with the girls, but you could just tell, even now, I know now, they were just flirting with it. Because these girls were teenagers, like 13, some of them 14, some of them 15, and they were having sex. Not with, I don't know if they did with the staff or not. I couldn't guarantee that, known that. But however, you could see that the girls got treated a lot better than the boys did.
Yeah.
Cigarettes get a step a bit longer. Allowed the upstairs part of Dalney home was a bit more unrestricted. You could make your own meals. You could stay up a bit later, stay on your TV. And it always seemed to be the girls that got that rather than the boys.
Girls were, and was this the male staff or was it all staff?
Male staff.
Okay.
The female staff. They were good. There was one lady, I think her name was Dorothy.
Dorothy?
Nickname was Dorothy. She used to come into my room and sit and talk to me and try and make me feel better than I had. She knew I had a hard upbringing, a hard life. She knew I did, and she would always try and comfort me. It's the only member of staff that had ever done that.
She treated you like a human.
Yeah, she took me swimming with her own daughter, and one of the things she did say when we were swimming, if anybody asks, yeah, you're my sister's children. she didn't want to think, Elvis, she didn't want to think people thinking that somebody at her age could have children at my age.
Yeah.
I kind of now seen what she's done. I know what she was trying to do. But she was fantastic. She would sit in my room and like just lie in the bed beside me and talk to me. And just stroke my face or stroke my head and tell me it wasn't, always try and tell me it wasn't my fault. And I would cry. And she'd say, it's not your fault. And she'd cuddle me, like I said, rub her finger to my face. And then I started rebelling against the staff. I started to rebel against the staff in Dalney because of how they treated different people. You know, privilege just taken away, and I would act up upon it. So that's
right.
Why I ended up with Aaron Tosh.
Okay. Can you give me one clear example of a time that, like a clear, you know, story almost of the emotional abuse from Dalney?
Emotional abuse in Dalney. Just if you had an attitude, if you're told to do something by a certain member of staff and you've done something, then they would come down hard on you. That's the easiest way to put it. It's kind of hard way to put it.
Yeah.
Because Dalney, I had good memories there and not so good memories there.
Okay.
It's the first place that ever, like I said, I was ever given a toothbrush of my own.
Yep, sorry, no,
breakfast,
continue.
Lunch, and dinner. Sorry?
No, that's okay, continue.
I'd never been without food. I was always given food.
Okay.
I always grew up not having food and not getting food.
Yeah.
Or made to eat stuff that I didn't like. Yeah. So when I got to a place that if you didn't like it, you had to have something else. That was the first time I ever experienced that.
Mm. Was there any bed wetting in Dalney?
Yeah, I did wet the bed in Dalney.
And were you pooing yourself still in Dalney?
Yeah, the first couple of times I tried to pretend it was water that I spilt. And then you're supposed to, every week we would take the laundry and take it to the laundry and put the laundry, and then you'd be given clean sheets and stuff like that for your bed.
Okay.
And I would just try and get away with it and put the laundry, put newspaper. I remember putting newspaper on my bed to soak up the mattress and keep turning the mattress around, and also marking my pants.
Mm-hmm.
I would. I've still done that.
Okay. When they found out you were you know, this was happening? Were they comforting?
Was it what, sorry?
Were they comforting? So did the staff comfort you if they were aware of the bedwetting or the pooing?
One of them only, and other ones would feel like, I can't believe a boy your age is doing this.
Okay.
Call a child an infant. The one lady, she would say, it's not my fault, and stuff like that.
Okay.
It's not your fault. It's nothing to be ashamed of. And also, if there was any problems, not to go to my key worker or members of staff, but to go to hers or try and look at the rota and wait. If she wasn't there for a couple of days, she was off for a couple of days. She said, always look at the rota and hold it. You have to stay, Colin, until I get in, and then tell me what happens and we'll try and sort it out from there.
Oh, that's lovely.
That was the first time. Pardon?
That's lovely.
She was. I'd never had experienced that before in my life.
Was it hard to trust her at first?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's like when anybody touches you pull back, you tense up. You know, but
yeah.
This lady, you just tell. It wasn't long. I just could tell. I got that impression from her. She didn't want to harm me in any way.
Yeah.
She wanted to help me.
Okay.
She'd tell me what to do and what not to do. And if anything had gone wrong, she would make sure that certain members of staff never found out about it.
And if you ever try to say about the emotional abuse that happened, or, you know, when you would have an accident and they would say, you know, I can't believe a child your age is doing this. Like, if you ever tried to tell anyone, what would happen?
You'd be slandered in front of every child.
Okay. Okay. And I've obviously put, you know, how it said, how I normally ask what was different about this place. I know earlier you said that it was an easier place to be in. So I have written that in that box.
It was an easier place to be in, but it wasn't home. But it was some members of staff tried to make it home. There was also another. There was one male guy in there as well. I became a professional drummer. My dad was a drummer, and my mother was a singer.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember his name now. He became the head of the social work department in Inverness. But he was a member of staff in there, and he was probably the only male person that I would ever feel comfortable around. He used to always take me to his house, to his two daughters. I still speak to his two daughters on Facebook now and again. If they see me playing the band, they'll say, hi, Colin, how you doing? He was a really nice guy. He took me back to his own house. That's when I knew that he said, see, it's not you. Don't think it's you. I wouldn't bring you back to my house with my daughters, with my wife, if you were a bad kid, Colin. You're a good kid. You just need a little bit more guidance and help. And he played bass guitar. He would try to teach me stuff. And there was a piano in Dalney. And I would always get to sit. I would spend most of my time, if I could, in the piano room, even though it was drums I wanted to play. He was just a really, really nice guy. Where there's a nice guy, there's always somebody who's not so nice.
Yeah.
There was never anything sexual. It was just degrading, made you feel like, take your shoes off you, trainers, jackets, not allowed to. You couldn't get your window, you couldn't get away.
Yeah.
You couldn't leave the building without a member of staff escorting you out of the building.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like me to note down about Dalnay?
Not that I can think of at the moment, no.
Okay. If you can, sorry, I kind of got my words out. If you think of anything else, you just let me know, all right?
I will do. It's later on tonight when I go up in my bed. This is what I'm not looking forward to. Just now I'll be okay. When my kids come home, I'll be okay because I've still got I've got a big garden and grass here.
Yeah.
As long as I'm doing that, I'll be fine. See my kids later on, I'll be fine. It's when I go to bed, I'm not fine. We'll get into that later on.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, I'm going to move on now to the short-term foster home with Mrs. Park.
How long was it there for?
You were there. Bear with me. Looks like you were there from 19...
I'm definitely at Christmas time.
Yeah. About September 1986 to November 1987, so just over 1 year.
Yeah, I knew it was a bit of time there.
Looks like 1 year, 2 months.
Okay.
With Mrs. Park, did she live in a house or a flat?
No, it was a semi-detached cottage.
Okay. And two floors?
Pardon me?
Two floors?
Yeah, two floors.
Yeah, did you have your own bedroom?
I had my own bedroom, yes.
And was the cottage, was it clean?
Yes, it was cluttery, but it was how you expect it to be. It was quite cluttery, as I said, but it was a nice environment.
Okay. And what about the food there?
They would ask me what I would like for dinner. She would allow me to make scones and stuff like that. If I said, can I make scones or something? Because in school they started to learn how to cook different things. And I made scones in school and I thought they were lovely.
Yeah.
And because I've always had problems with food, I would always want to eat all the time or always have lots of food around me because I spent years not having any.
Yeah.
So I would ask if I could make scones. If I wanted to make scones around like that, they had a big Rayburn in the kitchen. I was allowed to make scones or anything I wanted to. You know, and I had my bedroom looked over Dunvegan Bay, the Bay of Dunvegan.
Okay. What about the clothing? Were you provided new clothing?
Yes, I had clothing. We got a clothing grant.
Okay. And with that grant, were you able to kind of pick your clothes out or were they picked for you?
I can't actually remember.
Okay. Did you like the clothing you had?
No, because it was life in the islands is so different to life in the mainland.
Okay.
I mean, so different. I'll explain shortly.
Okay. No problem. What about hygiene-wise, the toiletries, toothbrush, toothpaste, shower gel, shampoo?
That was all good for me. They made sure that was all taken care of.
And would they top up if you needed? So if you ran out of shampoo, would she get you a new shampoo?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Okay. And contact with your family. Were you still able to have contact and see your father?
No, I would maybe get weekend visits to go and see my mum, I think.
Okay.
But I would sneak up to see my father. I'd always sneak up to see my dad. Especially when I found out June McNally and her kids had left.
Okay.
You know,
yeah. Felt a bit more at ease going to see him.
Yeah.
Okay. How did Mrs. Park treat you?
She treated me very nice. She was very nice to me.
Okay, good. Okay. And was there any punishment while with Mrs. Park?
No, not really punishment, though. Telling off, which I would believe that it'd be within our rights. I wouldn't say that I was ever scared of Mrs. Park at all.
Okay.
She had a husband called Roland and a wee daughter called Christine, I think. Christina, can't remember now. But a wee girl, a daughter, a young girl.
Okay. And was there ever any, did anything happen at Mrs. Park's that you would now, as an adult, consider to be abuse, neglect, or harmful in the terms of sexual, physical, emotional, or neglect?
Not sexual in any way, not so much neglect in any way. The Roland, her husband, there was an old broken down shed at the bottom of the garden beside the bay, and he gave me wood, hammers and saws, and told me to go and make my own den for me to sit in. And at Christmas time, to go to, they're a very religious family.
Okay.
So I had to go to church like on Christmas Eve and stuff like that.
Okay.
And prayers. I didn't believe in any of this stuff. But in Ireland, they speak Gaelic over there.
Yes.
And if you don't do well with Gaelic, you get serious trouble. Serious trouble.
Okay.
So I couldn't speak Gaelic. I couldn't grasp it in school. So I start that's where I started to rebel.
Okay. But was there anything, any physical abuse?
Not physical abuse, no.
Any emotional abuse?
Just the only thing I found hard there was the church, the religion, trying to make the religion upon you. If you didn't believe in it, they weren't very happy with you.
Right, okay.
And that went from Mrs. Geddes, Mr. Geddes, sorry, Mr. Park wrote Mrs. Park, the neighbors, the school, the shops, anything. If you walk into the shop and they say Aikivah, and you're like, I can't remember what the answer to say, I can't remember how to say the right thing back, then there was phone. The shop would phone Mrs. Park and tell them that I didn't answer them properly in Gaelic. So I wasn't allowed out. I wasn't allowed to go fishing or something, or things like that.
Right.
But I didn't get harmed in any way. I just tried to make me speak a language that I didn't understand.
And are you Protestant, Colin?
I'm Protestant, yeah.
And were they a Catholic family?
I don't know if they were Catholic, but they would go, like I said, they went to church like every
Yeah.
Sunday.
Sounds like
And
maybe Christian.
I remember I got around because I thought in church when you pray, you sit down to pray and stand up to sing. And it was the other way around. I remember saying, let's sing now. And I stood up. I was the
Right.
only person that stood up. And I got absolutely from the person who was doing the service, gave me a loud, and I was frowned upon by everybody else. I think I embarrassed Mrs. Park by it, because I was never made to do that before.
Yeah.
Yes, in the children's home in Glasgow, I was in a wee boy that was plum tomatoes. I remember them sitting down and have to pray and stuff like that. I didn't know the prayer they would say. I would get around for it. That's another thing I forgot about that. Religion, I just knew I was a Protestant. You know, and then over in the skies, storing away Lewis, Harris, Orkney, Shetland. All these places are really strict. You're not allowed to cook. You know, on Sunday, they don't cook on a Sunday. They don't use electricity on a Sunday. You're not allowed to, like, have a TV on a Sunday and stuff like that.
Okay.
You're not allowed to wash your clothes on a Sunday.
Yeah, it's a day of rest, isn't it, that they say?
For them, it's a day of rest. But yeah. When you're not used to that, it's like, I'm laughing, but I'm laughing, I don't know, maybe with a nerve, because I just didn't understand how I was in the wrong, because I didn't know how to pray.
Right,
you know, even the prayer we used to say in Bingley School, I still can't remember all of it.
Oh,
the Lord, my shepherd, I still can't remember all of it.
Well,
I've never pushed. I got married in a church in Scotland for my wife, because it was to be my wife wanted, you know, and it was to make the wedding right, but I wasn't anybody for ever going to church.
Yeah.
But made to go to church, yeah.
Yeah. Colin, were you still wet in the bed at the Mrs. Park's house?
I was still marking my pants. I did wet the bed.
And what was it like there, the treatment, if that happened?
I just put my washing in the wash basket. So I think she pulled up and said, did you have an accident, Colin? I'd be like, I'd always try and make excuses up of spilling and stuff like that. But in a lot of places, I wasn't allowed cups of juice and that upstairs.
Mm.
And it's everything that, in children's home and foster parents' home, everything that had to be consumed at kitchen table.
Right. Right. But was she comforting, you know, would she help you change the sheets?
No, she would put sheets in my bed. There was times when my bed not was made for me when I come back from school. And when I go away for the weekend, get in the bus from Portree to Dingwall, Inverness, I'd come back and my room would be changed around and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yes, there's a rubber sheet. That's it. There was a rubber sheet on the bed.
And was that in case of an accident?
Yeah.
Okay. And did you experience any sleeping problems while at Mrs. Park's house?
Always.
Okay. And they would be in the case of, you know, what kind of sleeping problems?
Nighttime. Scared of the dark. Creaking floorboards. Just so frightened.
Okay. And it was just because you were frightened at night?
Frightened because I thought, if you fall asleep, wake up, have a dream, and you think you're back in somewhere else that you wish you weren't in.
Okay. Yeah.
You're thinking, you're always weary. Doesn't matter how nice a man is to me, always weary.
Mm.
And sometimes, nowadays, 9 times out of 10, I can make eye contact with somebody I'm talking to, and within a minute, I'll get a vibe. I'll know.
Yeah.
And I'll say, I need to leave right now, or I'll talk. I've just got that is drummed into my head. But the sleep thing.
Yeah.
As we go on further, my doctor. If you've got reports from my doctor, I'll probably be on my doctor's reports.
I do. Yeah. I will have a look into. We'll go through that in a minute. Did you ever try and tell anyone about what was happening in Mrs. Park's house or not?
I wanted my mum to know about the church thing. And I told her my mum. I don't know why. I don't know what I've ever done wrong to my mum. I think she just didn't really want a child. And I say to my mum about the religion thing, she says, just be thankful these people want to look after you. And I would say, why can't you look after me then? And my dad wasn't happy about it. My dad was very unhappy about any religion trying to get forced upon me. But I do remember my dad. My dad did what he might have not have done it, but he always had best interest for me, without June McNally. Because June helped him in the beginning to help me. But then, as time went on, my dad was a better person away from June.
Yeah.
And he was also with a woman called Jenny. He was with a woman called Shona. But I was just a young boy.
Yeah.
And I do think, with like Jenny, and she had two boys, Michael and Kevin. And I think it became too hard for her, for me, the way I was, just the way I was brought up. I was just a different child. I wasn't like a normal child should be because of the things that I'd seen, how I was brought up, till it post.
Yeah.
That's my reckoning of now why I was like that.
And what was different about being with the Parks to anywhere else?
They're trying to help me. But they also wanted me to believe in their beliefs, which I didn't like that. Other than that, they were nice people.
Okay.
But like you said, come a Sunday. Sunday was a whole different kettle of fish.
Mm.
Had to go to church twice on a Sunday, the morning service and the evening service.
Mm.
So when I started going away to Dingwall or visit people in Inverness at the weekends, I'd be so delighted that I wouldn't get back home. I'd get picked up at the bus station in 4-3 and then get straight home and then go to church. I was just happy that I'd missed the morning service.
Yeah, you missed one and only had to suffer through one.
Yeah. And then trying to teach a language that you've got to understand and getting short-tempered with you because you can't pick it up.
Mm.
You know, but it's different for them. They start off in primary school learning a language, Gaelic and English.
Yeah.
So it's so much easier to pick that up when you're a young child.
Nope.
And that's how it is.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
If you go over there and you're a teenager and you're trying to learn, especially when our Glasgow region, our accent was a lot stronger back then.
Mm.
I just couldn't understand the words they were saying. I couldn't pronounce them properly. And I suppose it didn't go down well. And that was the worst thing I could ever say that happened there. But like I said, it was the school, it was the people in the shops, it was people in the church that frowned upon it, that I couldn't do it. So I started to rebel in school and stuff like that. I would never hit anybody back. I would always stand and take the beating from all my life, all the homes I was in. It was when I went to 4-3, I had enough, I snapped. The first time I was beaten up ever, I raised my hands back to somebody.
Yeah. Prison, 4-3. Okay. I've got everything written down for being at the Mrs. Parks. I've got two more placements left. So I've got Ferrantosh and then I've got Dunvegan.
Dunvegan is the guy.
Yes. Is that the same place as Mrs. Parks?
Yeah, Mrs. Parks, Dunvegan.
Right, okay.
Isle of Skye.
Okay. We've just got Ferrantosh left then, okay?
Okay.
Once we've done Ferrantosh, we can then move on to, you know, questions which include all of the placements that you were in. So let's get through Ferrantosh and then you can tell me a bit more about kind of afterwards, okay?
Yeah.
So Ferrantosh, was that a house? Was it a children's home?
I think it was a secure unit.
Okay, secure unit. And can you describe it to me?
There's two floors to it. You walk in the reception, you walk in the stairs, take you upstairs, but there's locked doors. You can't get through the doors unless staff let you. You go in, front door, there's two reception doors, and then to the right there was a rec room, a pool table, and then a kitchen, a big open place where people had their dinners. Toilet, bedrooms upstairs, boys on the first landing, and then girls through the fire exit door on the right-hand side. The girls were in that place. It's same floor, but you couldn't get into the girls' rooms. The girls couldn't get in your rooms during the day. You could during the day, but you couldn't at night time.
Okay. And what about you had your own, did you have your own bedroom? Was it shared?
I had my own bedroom.
And what did you have in that bedroom? You know, in a sense of, I know you would have had a bed, but did you have a desk, chest of drawers, wardrobe?
I had a bed and a wardrobe.
Okay. What about the bathrooms?
Bathroom was shared bathroom.
Okay.
There was a toilet you could use on your own for a poo, but there was o open showers and toilets.
Okay. And what about schooling? Were you still doing school?
Yeah, the school was part of the home.
Okay. How many people to a class?
I can't remember. There was maybe about, there was people that would come during the day for school and go back to their parents at night.
Hmm.
But there were some shady kids there. And there
Yeah.
was only there was two parts to Ferintosh. There was a place called the Lodge, but it was a bit more. I never ever got to stay in there, where you got a little bit more freedom, cook
Right.
your own food and stuff like that. And then you had the secure unit. You couldn't part the windows. You couldn't break the windows or anything like that. There were stoppers in the windows. You couldn't get your windows. You had school every morning, and then buses would come and drop kids off from different parts, little villages from the surrounding area, and bring them from Inverness, Dunwall, Invergordon, Tain, and bring them to school. So they spend the day there, have lunch and stuff like that in the secure unit, and then at the end of the day they would go home with their parents.
Right,
And the
okay.
ones and the rest of us who lived in the secure in Ferintosh would just go straight into the building and carry on their lives
Yeah.
living there.
Okay, and what about the food provided to you?
I'd never seen a place where there was much food you could ever get. We all had to sit down together and have dinner, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You could have whatever you wanted
Yeah.
for your breakfast and for your lunch and dinner. Okay.
Okay.
Hi, Sam. I won't be long. Won't be long, Sam. Good boy.
Did you ever,
That's nice.
pardon?
Sorry, I was just saying. Hi, my son was looking at me while I was sitting in the car. I'd say I'll be back in a minute.
Oh, bless. Yeah, hopefully we won't be too much longer, I promise.
It's okay, my wife knows what I'm doing. My granddaughter's here as well.
Oh,
I've got
okay.
kinship. I've got kinship with my granddaughter.
Right, okay, yeah.
So they've just come home from school
Oh,
in the
bless.
taxi.
Okay. Did you eat around a table together in a canteen? Was there like a dining hall?
Big kitchen, and a kitchen and dining hall, rec room sort of area at lunchtime when all the kids came from other places.
Right, okay.
They weren't allowed to do a bit of TV room and stuff like that. We could smoke if you got consent of your parents. You had to be a 14 and the consent of a parent to allow you to smoke in there. The kids that came during the day, they weren't allowed in that part. They were only allowed in where the pool table was. and the TV room at the front part of the building.
Okay. And what about hygiene? You know, toiletries, were these provided?
Yes.
Okay. And what about clothing? Did you get new clothing?
You get a clothing grant. You'll be taking it into shops to pick your clothes you wanted.
Okay.
Sometimes it wasn't the case. You were just told, that's what you're getting. But a certain member of staff, that's what you were getting.
Okay. And what about contact with your family?
I never seen my dad. When I'd run away from Fairham Tosh.
Okay.
With other members, all his children ran away. I would go and see my dad.
Okay. Okay. No, it's okay. Did anything happen in Ferentosh that as an adult you would now consider to be abuse, neglect or harmful in the terms of sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse or neglect?
Every single one of them.
Okay.
I was older and I knew what was happening.
Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask you about each individual one, okay? And I know it's hard, but I need to get all of this down. So sexual abuse, can you talk me through what happened in that sense?
Having a masturbate hole. Somebody said this man is married, children of his own. His name is Duncan.
Okay.
Okay, what to me?
Called Duncan. So when you say you had to masturbate, was it masturbating on him or over him?
Never near him, never on him.
Right, okay. And he wanted you to masturbate him?
Yes.
Okay. And was there anything else?
Yeah. Pushed me on the bed and lie on top of me. Not penetrate, but put between the cheeks and the bum.
Okay.
That happened all the time.
Okay. And where would this happen? Would this happen in your bedroom?
Bedroom, toilet, shower, anywhere I was ever alone with him.
Okay. Would anything else happen?
He tried to get me to give him a blowjob.
Okay. Okay.
And then tell me that I was in the wrong.
Okay. Did anything else happen that was sexual abuse?
Given the he came into my room occasionally, all the time. And given me a pornographic magazine and told me to relieve myself to this stuff. He said, and make sure you do it when you ejaculate. You've got to ejaculate the top of the comic. So I know you're a man, you're turning into a man.
Okay.
And then he would do that. And then he would ask to see the porno magazine, and he would already have rolled up in his back pocket or in his sleeves pictures of young children and babies and say, you are doing that to the children. And if you don't do this, if you tell any members of staff, I'm going to make sure you get done for this.
Okay. And did you?
I didn't. No, I didn't.
Okay.
No, I would never do that. My records are clean. I would never.
No, I'm not.
No, I know you don't. I know you don't. I feel sick, disgusted.
Yeah.
How you would do that. He was a sick, twisted man. Duncan Soloway.
Soloway.
He was ex-army and he was a really hard man. So just to look at such a scary man, and he would use his members of staff and said to me through the years, I met a member of staff a few years ago at the Duck Pond with my wife and my kids, and they said to me, Colin, I'm so sorry for what happened. He said, but there's nothing we could have done. It's just the way it was. There's nothing we could have done. Duncan was so wrong for what he'd done to you. I said, you tell the police that, and he went, there's nothing I can do, Colin. He said, but I'm sorry for what happened to you. My wife is there, and she heard it. And the two foster kids, and the wee foster kid held my hand. I said, and he said, see, kids can tell. I said, I know kids can tell. I said, the kid felt comfortable. I'd never met him before, and he held my hand. That was one of the other members of staff that was there. But there was so many things that went wrong in that place.
Yeah. So I have written all of that down, and I've put the story of the magazines. I have actually put...
Magazines.
Would you say that was one of the worst things that happened in that institute?
No.
Wow, okay. Okay. I'm now going to ask you about... the physical abuse. Can you tell me a bit about that?
I was thrown about, kicked about, punched about. I mean, to the highest level from Duncan Soloway. The very first time that I went to Ferran Tosh, the very first time I met him, he took a pencil and he stabbed it in his own hand. It didn't go through his hand. The split of skin between your thumb and your index finger. He stabbed the pencil on his hand and cut himself and threw the pencil at me and says, you've fucking done that. You're going to have done that. Well, you fucked now, weren't you? Because you just done that to me. And I was just such a fright.
Yeah.
And then he started kicking me.
Okay.
That was the very first day I met him.
Yeah. I've put all that down. Can you tell me some more about the physical abuse?
He was just an abusive person. And he would try and make himself look better in front of other members of staff. If I went to my mother's, my mother would always had some. I don't know what it was. I tried to tell mom, but she just brushed it off. She didn't. She's just sort of calling out stories again, sort of thing. I beg her to believe me, but she didn't. She didn't. I would get weekend visits from my mother on a Friday, but it's a Sunday.
Yeah.
But I would have to go from Ferran Tosh to her husband Duncan. Not Duncan Soloway, or Duncan Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
I would go and sit in his barbershop all Friday afternoon to Friday evening until he finished, go back to my mother's house, and on Saturday I would have to get out of bed and go to Duncan's work, so he was a barber, and sit in his barbershop all day, and then Saturday night I would go back to my mother's house, and they would go out in the band and play. And then Sunday they would come home, and if I'd done anything wrong, had a, found out I'd been smoking or had a drink or like that, they would only contact and tell Duncan Soloway about it because he was my key worker.
Okay.
And I would tell him, I said, look, do you know what he's going to do to me? And my mother would say, you fucking deserve it. And no kid deserves that constant. Every decision that had to be made had to be through him, because he was my key worker. And I would ask this lady called Chris. She was a big woman. I would say, like, she wouldn't fit in a car. She wouldn't fit in the car. She was so big. Chris was trying to tell her what was going on, and she wasn't interested at all.
Yeah.
He wanted to get more pleasure of me doing things to him than him doing things to me. The power was in his hands.
Yeah. Okay. Was there anything else that was physical abuse?
Like I said, just I've been punched in the stomach, punched in the back of the head, kicked, dragged, restrained, as in him and other members of staff all sitting on top of me to stop me from trying to run away.
Yeah.
So I used to run away now and again.
Okay. Can we talk now about the emotional abuse? So can you talk me through what happened with the emotional abuse?
He would always tell me that I was worthless. My mum didn't care for me because I was bad. My dad was a waste of space. He would get on at me and make me feel really bad because the Christmas times and birthday times, when the other kids got to go home to their parents, I was the only one that didn't get to go home. And I would get... It would make me feel scared because I have to take the fucking... My holiday from my wife, my children, I've got to come out of there to fucking look after... Sorry for swearing.
No, you're okay.
To look after you. But really aggressive. Like spitting your face aggressive. Face up your nose. Your face aggressive. Shouting and making you scared. Grabbing your throat. You couldn't breathe. And saying that his days off, but he couldn't enjoy his days, some days off, because he had to come out of work because I wasn't going away to my mother's and my father's.
Yeah.
Okay. But this happened the whole time I was in Servant's Wash. And there was days that he wouldn't have hurt me, but that had been days when there was kids around. There was a time then there was a few boys there, and he said, "Tell you what, boys, this weekend, let's see who's the best man out of all you. See who can go out and get your hole and bring back. I want to see the sexiest knickers you can bring back." I said to the boys that we just came, I said, "Listen, don't do it, because something bad will happen about it." And we went and got stuff out of the laundry room. And said, "There you go." I was the only one. I didn't do it because
yeah.
I knew there was something bad going to happen. And then he found it. He said, "Right, did any of you get your hole in the weekend, last night?" And I said, "Yep, I did." And the boy said they did. And then he just turned and said, "Right, give me the undergarments now." He says, "I'm going to phone the police and you're all getting charged for rape because you shouldn't have been, you're under 16. And stuff like that, or whatever it was. And he would put the fear of death into us by always saying he was going to get the police to do this, that to us, or he was going to sneak into our room, we'd get into the room when he got the chance.
Yeah.
And he'd get woke up at stupid 8:00 in the morning, over and over and over, just to make him happy.
And what about the neglect that was going on there?
It was just a horrible place to be in. But Jack Goodfellow, I think he was the head of it. They managed to get me to go to a sailing boat around from Oban, right round to Kyle and McCall, or something like that. They tried to put me on different things. I went to work. I went off my own back, asking people for to get a part-time job. I told them I was in a home, and some of them were, couldn't believe that a boy my age would try and get some work. And it would go above Duncan Sullivan's head. It would have to go straight to Jack Goodfellow, and he would allow it.
And what did he say Jack's surname was, sorry?
Goodfellow. I think Jack Goodfellow.
Okay.
He was, he overseen everything.
Okay.
And if you ever brought it up to members of staff, they would just walk away, point blank walk away.
Yeah. Okay. Can you give me one clear example, like before, of out of any of the abuse? I'd normally say the worst one.
Sexual assault is completely
okay.
His advantage.
And was that?
But I wasn't allowed to. I wasn't allowed to look at him.
Was there penetration?
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to look at him.
Where was this?
In my bedroom, in the shower room, and the outdoors in the yellow minibus.
And was this the sexual assault, as in the penetration happened multiple times?
Penetration happened multiple times, but mostly hand jobs. But he would always make me out to be a sick man because he was married and he had children. And I couldn't work that out. And I wanted to kill him. I was saying to myself, I wanted over and over. I never did anything wrong to him.
Yeah.
I never did. I suppose if I've ever seen the guy again, if I'd seen him when I was in my 20s, I'd be in jail if I got a hold of him when I was in my 20s, 30s, now.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't be able to control myself when I got near him because of that.
Yeah.
For starting off as a young child and going through the worst experiences you could ever imagine in Fair and Tosh. There's lots of details I'm leaving out, but it's not all coming out properly. But how he treated me. Washing the dishes for, say, like 12, 13 children, whatever about that, and all the staff. And I was on dishes, washing dishes. I'd wash them, he would come in, pick food out the bins, and throw it all over the clean dishes and say, they're not fucking clean. Get them clean. And that was happening time after time again.
Yeah.
He would clean the bathrooms, and he would come in and scuff the floors or spit in the floors and
right.
Say they weren't done right. And that would go on a report against us.
Yeah.
And cigarettes, burning, like, putting a fag to his finger and saying, see, you done that to me. All I've got to say is phone the police and say, you've done that to me. That would be his way of not, for me to not do anything or say anything for me touching him.
Yeah.
He never ever wanted to look at me.
Okay.
Ever.
I
was never been so petrified of a man in my life.
I know you said you ran away a few times to go and see your dad. Were you wet in the bed and having accidents in Berrintosh?
Yes. There's blood in my bum.
Okay. Did you tell anyone?
Did I tell anybody?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I tried to talk to my mum about his abusive, and she said he probably deserved it.
That's awful. You didn't deserve any of that. Did you have sleep problems in Ferintosh?
Yes.
Okay.
All my life.
Yeah. Did anyone witness the abuse that you received?
Lots of other children got the same as well from.
Okay.
But you don't get to see what happens, and you just look at the kids. We just look at each other and just put our head down, and not say anything to each other. You couldn't. Everybody was, even the girls with other guys, kind of positive that the girls were having sex for a couple for some of the staff there.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm positive that I'm not the only person that would say that. It didn't happen with any of the males and the females.
Yeah.
Or anything like that.
Okay.
There was another cook. I can't remember her name. She got me out of Ferintosh for the day and evening. We took me back to her house in Bewley with her husband. And we went to the pitch. She made my dinner, made his dinner, took me to the pictures, and they both ran me back home again. And so I tried to tell me she knows what's going on, and she just wanted to get me out of there and just to keep fighting and not let them get to me. But after that, Duncan put a stop to me going anywhere with any member of staff. All was his reasons.
Okay.
For what that man done to me, and the kick through the door, walking in the room, has ruined my life.
Yeah.
To this day. I thought years ago, people say, if you can talk about this and get it off your chest, you can move forward in life, Colin. And I try to speak to
It doesn't work
people.
That way, unfortunately.
I try to talk to people about it, and they say, before I would get into much details, they would say, this is your acting on your animal instincts, Colin, to go do these things. And I would say, I would just walk out with some of them.
Yeah.
I just couldn't even sit down and looked at a man one day, and he's like, just looked at me and smiled. And I just got the most horrible feeling immediately. I said, Michelle, let's go, to my wife. And she went, okay, let's go. She goes, what happened there? I goes, he's a paedophile.
Yeah.
I said, and she goes, how do you know, Colin? I said, I just know. I just feel it. I said, maybe he's not Michelle, but I get that feeling off of him.
Yeah.
And then I would start going back to see other people. I started talking to one psychiatric
I tell you what, I know
it.
I want to get into that. I just need to finish talking, Tosh. No, you're okay, because I want to ask you some questions about that. I just want to quickly finish off Ferintosh, and then we can really go into that. Is that okay?
Yeah, well, and another thing with Ferintosh is they would put us in if we tried to run away, I know why I ran away. The first time I ever ran away was mostly I'd never done it before, and the kids in there had all done it. And they would say, come on, you chicken. Let's go. Let's run. And I was too scared to, because I knew I would get. But then it got to a point, one member started saying, you'll be fucked, Duncan's back in tomorrow. You'll see how smart you are then, Colin. And I'd be like, what are you saying that for? They say, no, friends frightened me that Duncan was coming back on. So I did, I would just run away. I would pretend I was doing something, and the staff would open the door, and I was really fit. They couldn't catch me. I was off. I would jump into a river, swim across the river, walk from Connor Bridge to Inverness through the fields, and run across the Kissett Bridge. I'll go round the old way, walk along the railway track to Inverness, and we would hide in a place that we all called the summer house, which we would stay in there all day during the day,
right,
and sleep. And night time, this is from Ferintosh, at night time we would go to the baker's bins and get food out of the baker's bins, and any free phone boxes we could get at bed and breakfast, so we'd take that to try and get money to live rather than come back to Ferintosh.
Okay. What was different about Ferintosh like I've asked before, you know, what was different about Ferintosh compared to the others?
It's the most scariest environment I've ever been in my life.
Okay. Okay. Let's go into... Across, so these are questions now from all of your placements, okay? So everywhere you've been. Who would you say were the main people responsible for your abuse?
People in Rosedean and...
And Duncan.
Most of it from Duncan Soloway.
Okay. And you said other children were affected and
yes.
Witnessed abuse. And you witnessed abuse yourself, yeah?
Yes.
And why do you believe, and this is a bit of a difficult question, why do you believe that the local authority, so this was under Highland Council, why do you believe that Highland Council knew what was happening?
Because it was a normal thing in the 70s and 80s.
Okay.
I've been to a group meeting before. I spoke to people and they just said, the system is fucked. Doesn't matter what you do, there's nothing you can do about it.
Okay. And were complaints ever discouraged, ignored or punished?
Complaints. If you complained, then you'd be... You couldn't complain. In Dalney, you could complain. Rosedean, if you complain in Rosedean, or even worse, Ferintosh, if you complain, I got back to your key worker. I got back to just like Duncan. Everybody had a key worker that was like, but that is, if there's lots of members of staff,
yeah.
Only one of that members of staff is my main key worker. Everything I've got to do has to go through him.
Right, yeah.
So if I say, can I talk to you? There was like a couple of decent people and I would say to them and they would just say, there's nothing we can do about it, Colin. It's just the way he is.
Yeah.
And that's, they were just talking about the mental physical abuse.
They have no idea.
You try to talk at that and they dismiss it.
Okay, and were you ever moved, threatened or disbelieved because of these complaints?
The complaints is just, you have to live with.
Okay. Right. And were you ever told why you were moved between these different homes?
My mum used to always say to me, because... I don't have that much memories of my mum. She just said I was in a home for bad boys.
Okay. But you were never physically told, you know, when you were moving from Dalney or anywhere, you were never told why you were being moved.
I was told that I was getting put to Ferintosh because my behaviour was getting a little bit much for them, because Dalney was the softest place anybody could go.
Right, okay, yeah.
But starting to rebel, not getting to see my father, not
yeah.
getting to see my mother, and not being told the truth.
Okay.
I would rebel a little bit about it. I've never done anything serious wrong, as you'll know. My records have no any worse than any child. I've not done anything really bad. It's
okay.
Stole like sweeties at a shop or something like that.
And
even at that, I'd be scared, you know. But there's nothing bad in my records at all. Eating food, getting food and stuff like that from cash and carry and stuff like that, or out the baker's bins with cakes and pies to throw out at night time. Going out their bins and taking all that. That's things like that is what we've done wrong. When you go to different schools, I couldn't cope with the different schools. Because every time I went to one school, they were learning about something I didn't understand.
Yeah.
I go to another school and they're learning something totally different. So I couldn't catch up with what I was doing. And I used to get a lot of hard times from teachers, especially in Skye. Teachers in Skye, they were really hard on you.
Yeah.
Because you didn't speak Gaelic, you know.
Okay. And what age were you when you left care, Colin?
17.
And what were the circumstances after leaving care? Where were you left to?
I was put to our Connell Street to Kay and James Wallace, our Connell Street, Inverness. And they were classed as community carers. So they would, there was a bedroom I had on my own, and a kitchen my own, cook my meals if I wanted to, and I could let people stay overnight if I wanted to.
Okay, and you were kind of left to your own devices in a way.
Yeah.
Okay.
They tried to put me back to the Isle of Skye to work on the farm, but I couldn't cope with that. It was the same with the religious.
Yeah.
Same about the religion.
Okay. I'm now going to ask you, we're going to really go in now to the questions about the impact it's had on you. So the first question is, how did the experience affect you at the time? So not after, but at the time. So in a sense of your safety, your trust, confidence, sleep, behaviour, education, relationships, or your ability to speak up.
I'll have to, you have to ask me one at a time. Please.
Okay, so how did the experience affect you at the time? So how did it affect your safety?
I was petrified every night going to bed.
Okay. And what about your trust?
I didn't trust anybody. I still have that problem.
Okay. And what about your confidence?
Confidence was absolutely shattered until I started asking to get jobs and stuff like that.
Okay.
I had no confidence because my skin, dark colour skin and stuff like that. I didn't realise it was going to be a bonus for me when I got older. I didn't know that.
Okay.
At the time, so my confidence was really bad.
Okay.
But as soon as I started getting involved with playing drums and stuff, my confidence started to grow.
Yeah. Okay.
But my night terrors didn't.
Okay, I will get into that. I promise. That is the next section.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No,
sorry.
No, don't apologise. Actually, I'll write that down. Okay. Your education?
My education is very poor. I've learnt more in the last. I met my wife in 1997, and we got married in 2004, and we've been together ever since. We have four children, and three grandchildren.
Aww.
And we're still together, strong people as ever. If you need somebody to tell you any more about what it's done to me, what it's like.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask, actually, would you like your wife to do a supporting statement for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I take your wife's phone number?
Oh, I'm just trying. 26.
Okay.
My wife's sitting there. She's here just now.
Okay.
To speak to you.
Hi there. So Colin would like for you to do a supporting statement on his behalf. Now, we will have to do that another day. I'm just wanting to take your name. Pardon?
My wife is in.
I have respiratory problems. And I just walked outside after doing this, the hoovering, and he's just shouting over the car, so I've not quite caught my breath yet. That was all.
Oh, no, you're okay. Can I just take your name?
Yes, Michelle Sanders.
And Michelle, can I just grab your phone number?
It's the same as Colin.
It's the same phone number?
Yeah, we share a mobile.
Okay,
and
no problem.
Yeah.
would you be able to do a support and statement, say, I can do tomorrow?
Not this way.
Tuesday.
I don't think we're in Longstone, do we? Yeah, that should be fine. As of yet, I don't think we've got anything on. There's nothing that comes to mind. What sort of time are you thinking?
I'm thinking maybe it's around, we can do in the morning if you'd like, 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, absolutely perfect.
Okay.
I can give you the house number and you can phone on the house number. Sometimes you get, the mobile number there. And as you move about the house, sometimes you can lose connection. It can come and go, but the house line will be a lot clearer.
Yeah,
if you want to give me a ring on
can.
That.
Yeah, if you can give me that one.
Yeah, it's 01463.
Yeah.
861.
Yeah.
384.
Perfect. Okay, I'll do that tomorrow at about 11 a.m. I'll give you a
call perfect.
And we can do that together, okay?
Yeah, that's great. No problem at all.
Brilliant.
Look forward to speaking to you, okay?
Okay, thank you very much, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.
Okay, no problem. I'll speak to you tomorrow, okay?
Yes.
That's a really nice sort of issues.
No, that's all right. Thank you for that, Colin. It's going to be great to be able to get a support and statement.
She's very lucky to have her. She went into a coma last year.
Oh, bless her.
She's struggling. It's really warm just now here. It's 29 degrees.
Wow.
And when she's walking about, when she was in a coma, she had a thing called strep pneumococcal.
Yes.
So both her lungs filled up.
Wow.
There was another girl next to her, younger than her, who died. And she was in a coma for 11 days, and they told us after the third, the fifth day, it wasn't looking good.
Jesus.
But she came out of it, and she's been admitted to hospital 11 times this year, and stayed in between 11 days to a fortnight or slightly more. And last year, she's lying in bed. Our oldest kids are in their 26, 25,
right.
20. So we've got a wee boy. He's 9, and I used to lie in bed with him last year. I thought I was going to lose my wife, and she was the only person that knows I spoke to her about things and understands me.
Yeah.
And I couldn't cope with it. And
the
hardest thing was looking at my boy, my wee boy, saying, how am I going to tell this boy about his mum? So she pulled through it. So she just gets a little bit of breath.
Oh, bless her. Well, that's okay. She can just sit and chill while we do our phone call. Bless her.
Okay. She's a diamond.
Oh, I'm so glad you've got her, Colin.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for her. She's a civil servant. She's an executive officer for DWP.
Right, yeah.
She's if somebody asks for a loan or something and they get it, then they're not allowed it. They're disapproved, and I forgot the right word I'm looking for here. If they refused it and they appeal against it, the appeal goes to my wife, and she'll find out reasons and why that appeal should be overturned.
Right.
You
okay.
Know.
Yeah, I get you.
So stupid that reasons as in somebody phoning and saying their brother died in an ambulance, and she would phone the hospital and phone the ambulance department and ask them and say, nope, nobody's been in here. And she phoned them back and say, I'm sorry, but there's no record of your husband or your boyfriend, whatever, dying in an ambulance.
Yeah.
So that was her, that's what she done as. But she comes from a strong family.
Yeah.
My mum, dad, gran and grandpa. She's polar opposite from me. You know, so it took me so many years to tell Michelle things.
Yeah.
But when I started telling her things, she used to say to me, this makes sense, Colin, to me now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we'll get her full account tomorrow, and that'll be really supportive for your application. I'm just going to ask you a couple more questions, Colin. Is that all right?
Yes.
Perfect. So what I want to know is, have you got any mental health conditions such as anxiety,
yes,
depression, trauma, panic, flashbacks, nightmares?
I have PTSD.
Is that diagnosed by a doctor?
The doctor just said to me, Colin, this is PTSD.
Okay.
I have a medication. I've seen nucleation. My doctors know I've asked for sleep tablets for so long, and it's for years, and they're asking why, because I had a serious accident at back when I was working.
Right.
My spine collapses on a lot of oxycodone medication. I'm off of all that now, but my back's still done in, and the doctors wouldn't give it to me. So I had to start telling doctors a little bit at a time, and
right.
I couldn't get into any further than just saying that I'd been through sexual assaults and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I couldn't, but I found it impossible to go into it in any way, shape or form. Like, today is the only time, apart from my wife, a little bit is to a psychologist, little bit is trying to talk to them, but not getting anywhere.
Okay.
To this day, I can't sleep at night time. Even if I take tablets, I can't sleep. As soon as my wife is sleeping and my kids are sleeping, I am on edge every single night of my life. And it's because of my past. And I know it is. I know what I feel. I suffer night after night after night. I hit the drink bad for a long time.
Okay.
At night time, because the drink would put me to sleep. And I would just fall asleep and wake up and forget about it. But then the drink would rob me of the next day. Would make me so tired and stuff. So I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do anything like that. None of his wife doesn't because of her respiratory problems.
Okay.
Just her kids smoke, but they're not allowed to smoke in the house or anything like that. You know, so...
Colin, do you suffer from any physical pain because of what you went through?
Pain?
Any physical pain?
Every time I fight, like, I get pain, I get piles a lot all the time.
Okay.
I get piles up, that pain there, the piles. I don't know how to put this, but that's the pain. It's not. I'm not. Nothing's happened to me now. It's just when that happens there, and I've got to touch myself there. I can't. It puts me all wrong.
Okay.
I'll go to my bed. And I can't get my bed. I won't eat. But see when my wife is. See that during the day, if everybody's up and doing something, I fall asleep like a baby in a cradle. If somebody was cuddling me and shaking, rocking me, I just fall out cold because I'm in a safe place.
Yeah.
I'm in a safe place. My wife's there. She's out doing things. The kids are about. I feel safe. But as soon as nighttime comes or I'm on my own, things don't work out so good for me.
Yeah, I understand. So being alone is something that you'll try and avoid.
Yes.
And
I mean, before I met my wife, there was many times I thought of ending my life.
And so, is there any other triggers? So, is there anything else that you avoid? Any places? Any smells? Situations?
Smells. Smells can trigger things off to me.
What kind of smell?
The furniture polish, chlorine, certain brute aftershave.
Okay.
Brute aftershave. Anything like that, any advert on TV, anything that comes on the TV that's sexual assault, my wife will quickly grab the controls and turn it away quickly.
Yeah.
Because she's seen what's happened to me. I'll walk out of the room and not say anything to anybody, and just walk away. So if something comes on, I tried to do with a test on YouTube about what's the first thing you hear when you hear this noise, or you hear this word. What word do you hear? What picture? What do you see when you see that picture? I'd done that, and by the time I got the end of it, I was what a mess I was in.
Mm-hmm.
And they said you have to pay for it to get your results. I was like, I'll never do anything like that again.
No.
You know, it wasn't asking me what I'd been through. It was just asking, what do you hear? And the, stop it, you're stupid. And I would hear, you're stupid. And my wife would hear, stop it.
Mm.
It's just the way it came across. A picture, do you see a skull or do you see a lady? I would see a skull and stuff, just stuff like that.
Yeah.
I applied that for 12, but I think that there should become a massive warning sign to people like myself.
Is there anything else, Colin, that triggers you?
Just like something, it just can come into my mind. It comes into my mind. Seeing a certain cars, programs is on, Neighbours is on, program Neighbours, I see that, I get upset because that was on the phone all the time. My son is on the police record, my oldest son, Colin Sanders Jr. A man grabbed him and tried to sexually assault him when he was only 7 years old. And when he came home and told me, I tried to get to the house, but by the time I got there, the police and CID were there arresting the man. And that's why we managed to get a house where we are now.
Uh-huh.
Because we had to get out of the house in the state that we're in. There was a registered paedophile for my son, but that I couldn't handle seeing what it was doing to my boy. But then it was also making me think of what happened to myself. But I decided to sit down with my son when he was older and explain it to him in a way. How does it bother him now? And it still affects him. So I tried to tell him little bits about myself. And end up in tears, give him a card and said, if you ever need talk about it again, just talk about it. But he has ADHD, so he deals with things in his own way. Just shouting in it, like people shouting.
So like just shouting in general.
Shouting in general. I'll turn my head instantly. My wife will paint a picture of it. I feel sorry for them because they're the ones that have to put up with me when all the triggers and all those things that I've been I've experienced in my life. When I'm not good, it's my wife and children that suffer for it. I've never hit my children. I've never lifted my hand to my wife. I've never done anything like that.
Yeah.
I couldn't because of what happened to myself. However, I've shouted at them. You don't understand. And my wife's crying, saying I do understand. And then I have to take medication sometimes. I'm on stuff called quetiapine.
Okay.
Just now, quetiapine to stop. My mind gets a certain way, but I can't control it anymore. The thoughts just come through my head. I'm crying. I'm really bad. I take the quetiapine, and what it does is it levels my head out.
Okay. And can I ask, do you work, Colin?
I've worked all my life, but I had a serious accident at work.
Yeah, you said. What did you work as?
I've worked on the building site, on roofs, building sites, and for the gas, British Gas.
Okay. And you said you had an accident. What year was that?
I'll try to think now. It's when we've done the streetscape, 20 years ago.
Should we go with 2006?
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, we'll go with it. I'll just put around to approximately 2006. Has that made it so you can't work?
Yeah, I have to get deep denervation jags every year. It's where they put.
Are they the needles in the spine?
And the spine and the burning nerves.
Yeah, my grandma gets that.
It's painful.
Yeah,
it's so sore.
It's not nice at all.
No, I get that. I've had that done every year.
Jesus.
And with the pain management clinic, they have people who talk to you for mental issues. And I've tried to help talk to them.
So have you had counselling?
Yeah, they can't cope with it. It's too much. One of the ladies started crying her eyes out. And saying it's hard enough for a lot of people that she deals with. She goes, who went through a lot of abuse from the same person for many years, but not as many people as I have.
Yeah.
Different people through my life. She said, I don't know how do you still cope with that and understand why you've wanted to take your own life in the past.
And
just having the children, I've thought about it, yeah.
Okay. Have you ever self-harmed?
No.
Okay. Can I ask really quickly, I know I want you to continue, but I just want to ask, how has it affected your intimacy with your wife?
In the beginning, I had a little bit more confidence when I met my wife. I'm a few years older than my wife.
Okay.
We'd have sex and stuff like that.
Mm.
But then I would go all quiet at times afterwards, and she didn't understand why. But it took me a while to explain. But it's something we've worked at as a couple.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what about, has it affected your parenting? Now, I know you said you've never laid a hand or would never, but you have shouted. Would you say that what you went through affected your parenting in a positive or negative way?
A positive way.
And why is that?
Because I would never, ever put my children through what I went through, ever.
Okay.
So even the thought of talking about it now, it'll put me in tears.
I know.
My wee boy's just, right now he's about 20 metres away from me. He's 9 years old and he's playing with his friend. And the thought of anybody even just slapping his bum, his hand, I couldn't cope with that.
Mm.
And that's what triggers things for me. I sit and look at my children growing up and I say, how the hell can anybody do that to somebody that age? It's not right.
Yeah.
It's not, I see these things in TV programs that watch, my wife watches these sort of things, but she'll turn it off if I'm in the room. I've sat and spoke about things together over and over and over. But like I told you, when my oldest boy, Colin Jr., when he was sexually assaulted, the police never were involved, social work department. He was a registered paedophile from North Scotland.
Okay.
It was that bad. My mother worked, all these residents lived in this, all these different houses. There was like sheltered house and staff would come in and see them. And
yeah.
my mother was going to move into the one of them. I said, you're going to move into the place where that man happens to be now, but then that's your grandson. He didn't do it to you. And it's just for me. I said, Mum, you can't do this. I said, if you go anywhere near there, you'll never get to see us or your grandkids again.
Yeah.
But it didn't put her up or down. But now my mum's, she has dementia. She doesn't know who I am anymore. I've always, when things went wrong, as much as they did, in different places and growing up in my life, there's many things that you just don't know. There's where I lived with many, my aunties, my uncles. I lived in a farm on Whitebridge. My uncle George, he was a head shepherd there. He used to put me in dog kennels. He'd make me eat dog food. He would hang me up where they slaughtered the deer and they'd hide there. He'd put me in there. My auntie Mary, his wife, she would fight like hell with him about it. I was put to Whitebridge Primary School. I've been to so many more primary schools than you know.
Yeah.
You know, so there's so much emotional damage done Well, my dad couldn't help me, and my aunties and uncles tried to help me. But I found out, was it yourself?
Yeah.
My gran tried to come and get me. I didn't know any of that before.
Yeah. Okay. I've written all this down, don't worry. Can I ask, and this can be quite a difficult question, but what do you think would have been different had none of this have happened?
I'd have a better life.
Yeah.
I would have had a better life. I would have maybe trust people a little bit more.
Yeah.
It had a serious impact. I said to my wife 20 years ago, I need help for this. I need help. I need to talk around people. And then I couldn't talk to certain males. I felt so uncomfortable with certain males that I did talk to females.
Yeah.
Talking to you just now, I don't know what you look like. I could walk past you in the street tomorrow somewhere and not even know who you are. But
yeah.
You know all this about me. And that will affect me tonight and tomorrow and for a long time. It'll affect me because I have no idea who you are. But I feel comfortabler talking to a female than I do a male, because it's been more males that has really hurt me. My mum's hurt me when I was a child, but nothing like I've been through those demons, Fionn Tosh. You know, the sexual assault I experienced for the first time ever when I was a wee boy, my mum's brother and stuff like that. All that there, and the worst of it, Fionn Tosh, like using throwing baby pictures and saying, I'm going to say that you must have been to that. That there doesn't, stuff like that doesn't leave you. So when I go in the house, I walk past people and look and say, that could have been that lady I was talking to the other day. I know it's not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's how it is for me now. I don't know what will happen, the outcome of this will be. I have no idea. But maybe once I read all my records, I'll get it. Because I know what happened to me. I don't know why it happened to me. I don't know why it was me I had to go through that. But I wasn't the only one. There's thousands of children going through this all over, everywhere, all over the world.
Okay.
But you don't think of other people, you just think of yourself.
Well, we're now on the last couple of questions before we finish. So I've got three questions for your application, and then I've got three questions after that.
Okay.
So why are you applying to the Scottish Redress Scheme, and what would you like to come from telling your story?
It was my wife that found it one day. And she thought that I would get closure from it.
Okay. And what do you want to come from telling your story?
What do I want?
Yeah.
I want peace. Like I said, I'm 54 years old. I've spoke to people, other survivors, who seem to get on better in their life now. And they say it's because of what I'm doing now. Some of them have done it, and it's made a better life for them.
Yeah.
But everybody's different.
Yeah.
Right? Everything that happened to me, if my parents didn't break up, or if they didn't put me into these places like Fionn Tosh, to put me with a better foster parents, none of this would have happened.
Yeah.
And I didn't ask for it. Nobody would ask for any of it. And maybe I don't want to be an old man who sits and cries his eyes out at adverts or things like that, or films. There's a film called Sleepers. I watched that and it put me all wrong for days.
Yeah.
And then I watched it on my own, and try and calm my head down a little bit. It's just, maybe I'll understand why my parents didn't want to be around around me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be, like I said, when I was 40 years old, I don't want to be a 40-year-old man, 50-year-old man, still like this. I'm 54 years old, and I'm still the same. I have no closure. I have nothing for it.
Yeah. Okay. And what would acknowledgement mean to you? So what would the Scottish Government understanding what you went through mean to you?
If I got an apology of some kind, it would help me a lot. I don't know. Because you don't know until something happens how it's a hard one to answer.
Yeah.
But I would like closure. I wish I could get an apology from some people. Not much to ask, but, you know.
Okay. And is there anything else that you want Redress Scotland to understand about what happened to you?
I don't know what you mean by that.
So is there anything else that we haven't spoken about that you want Redress Scotland to know? Anything
just like the stuff that I've seen, told you. What I've seen going on with my dad and girlfriends, kids, doing that to themselves. I can give you their name so you can check it out and you'll know. You can go to the courts and you'll find out exactly what happened to them. I had to live in the same room and starve and watch them sexually assault each other. And I told you,
yeah.
both of that boys. I wanted to leave and get out of that house. I phoned the social work department to help me because they always said if you advert TV, if there's any abuse going on in your life, phone the social workers for help. And I did. And I got help, but it's not the help I wanted. I ended up getting abused even more. But the two boys that my dad was engaged to their mums, the two boys, Stephen and Billy McNally, June McNally's two sons, they both been jailed or have sex assault on their own children.
Okay, I'll definitely look into that. Okay.
Billy's a year older than me, Stephen's a year younger than me, and Anne is a couple of years older than me.
Okay.
They've gone under the name of McNally or Billy changed it under the name of Billy McNally or Billy McDonald.
Okay.
It's all went to court. It was on the TV. It was all over the place. But as a young child of 12 or 13 years old, knowing how wrong that was and having to get out of that environment, I got out of that environment by phoning the social work department to help me get away from abuse. Of getting beat up, starved, and watching incest go on. And then, because I did that, the social work department took me in places that I ended up getting abused even more. So, this child line didn't help me as much as it could have.
Okay.
That's really what I've got to say.
Okay. Is there anything important that we haven't covered or any wording that you would like to be handled carefully?
Right now, my head's like in overdrive at the moment. I'm numb. I feel numb. My head will go around in circles just now. And if there's anything else, I'll try and speak to my wife tonight about this. And she might say to me, something that I've not said to you.
Okay.
I tried to write everything down and then set it on fire and put it away. That didn't work. There's things that I go on YouTube and type in how to deal with trauma. And you try these things. It doesn't work for me. So I don't know if there is such a thing as a support group out there. Because everybody's different. I don't know if that make me worse or make me better.
Okay. I'm going to explain the next step to you. So now that I've got your witness statement, I'll be getting your wife's support and statement tomorrow. Once I've got that, I'll write them both up into fully written out statements.
Okay.
I'll then create a cover letter, put the statement in, and add all of the evidence that we have into that, what we call a bundle. It gets sent to you for a signature, just to say that you're happy with, you know, everything inside is true to your knowledge, you know, and then there'll be a payment authority letter as well. That letter just pardon?
I have to go through all this again.
No. So I'll write it up into a completely written out statement because I've just been taking notes, but I've got a recording of the call. So I'll write it into
statement. That's what I was saying. I was going to say you've got a recording of the call.
No, I do not need to do this again. Don't worry.
I don't want to do this again because...
No, that's okay. It would be sent to you. You don't even have to read it. You just need to sign it for us to say that you know, it's everything that we've discussed. You're happy that it's true to your knowledge. And then it'll be sent back to us, okay?
Can you tell me, you do this for a living, is there many people like this? Have you gone through many cases of what I've been through?
Yeah, there's quite a few.
Is there anybody that you've asked, is there anything they can do to make it better? Is there anything they've done? I don't know who they are.
A lot of them say the same as you. It's a struggle, but definitely speaking about it, a few of them have said helps and getting it all out to someone that you absolutely don't know, like myself. You don't know me, and so a lot of them found talking to me helped a lot.
See if anything comes off good from this. Would I ever be able to see you for a video call?
To see me?
Yes, just to talk with my wife, so I can see you and you can see me, so I know who I told my story to.
Yeah, I can arrange that.
Yeah, but with my wife, I'm not meaning that in a weird way.
No, of course, if it helps you, it helps.
It's just that if I get closure out of all this, what I was told, anything money comes out of this, I'm not going to take that money and go and do something for it. That money will get spent on my children.
Yeah.
If I ever get anything like that. But it's not just that, it's finding out things that my mum and dad have lied about to me. The social work department, I've never been in a position to tell me to tell me these things because I'd have been too young to understand it.
Yeah.
So I've never known, and I suppose I'm going to read some of this stuff and be a bit disappointed, a bit upset. I'm going to have to try and rebuild myself again from that.
Yeah.
But I think you have to now, see, this is easier said than done. Sometimes you have to hit rock bottom before you can build yourself back up again.
Yeah, but definitely. Just it's about, you know, you have to start from somewhere.
It seems to be for me, I hit rock bottom and I get to a certain plateau and then that's it. I go 10 steps forward and 30 steps back.
I know. Well, Colin, are you happy with how the next steps have been explained to you?
Yes.
And would you feel safe to end the phone call?
Did I feel safe to sort it out?
Would you feel safe ending the phone call? You don't feel like you're going to harm yourself?
I'm not going to harm myself.
Okay.
I will cry. I will go to my room. I'm going to cut my grass just now. Finish off, cut my grass. I'll go to my room. And that'll probably be me for the rest of the night.
And have you got someone who can support you?
My wife.
Okay.
My wee boy. My young boy.
Okay.
He needs his dad.
Yeah.
If he says something, it's really bright. If he says to me, Dad, can we go fishing? I'll go fishing with him, and I'll deal with this later on. But no, I'm not going to harm myself.
Okay, good.
I'm not going to do that. If I was going to do it, I would have done it a long, long time ago.
Okay, well, Colin, that's the statement done.
Okay.
I want to thank you for your bravery, for being able to open up to me about that, because I know that that was really hard for you. And I do appreciate that you were able to do that with myself. I do appreciate that a lot, and I think you're very brave.
Okay. Yeah, it wasn't easy, but you made it, whatever happened, you made it comfortable to try and explain it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm glad that that's the case. All right, Colin. Well, what I'm going to do is, like I said, I'll do the statement with your wife tomorrow, and then I will contact you when I've got everything prepared, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Colin. If you need anything else in the meantime, just give us a call back, okay?
Okay, I will do. Thank you for your call.
Thanks very much for your time, Colin. Take care.
Okay, thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.